What a day. Live out from St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp well underway. They're getting ready to conclude here in about next 10, 15 minutes. Jayon Brown, Titans linebacker, will join us at the desk coming up next. But breaking news all over the world of football. You heard in Lucas Panzeca's update, Carson Wentz is going to have foot surgery. Apparently the window is up to 12 weeks at this point to repair his foot. This is according to Colts coach Frank Reich. So I guess he must be doing media availability right now. Ian Rappaport with the news. The goal for Carson Wentz was to stay on the field in rehab. That likely would have prolonged the inevitable. Surgery is smart, though it likely causes him to miss the start of the season. So I saw windows of 5 to 12 weeks. 12 weeks is what they are saying he could miss as much as. So 12, if we're to do the math, by the way, 615-737-1045, what does this do to the Titans' chances to be able to win the AFC South in back-to-back years? We'll need to look that up when the last time it is that they've done that, if they've done that, in the history of this franchise. I can't recall off the top of my head. But for Carson Wentz, I mean, this is damaging. This is the worst-case scenario outside of missing. Well, so it's not the worst-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is that he misses the entire season. But this is as bad as it gets. If you're to look at a 12-week window right now as we sit here on August the 2nd, it is entirely likely that if Carson Wentz takes the full 12 weeks to rehabilitate, he may not come back until the Colts are hosting Kansas, or excuse me, until the Titans go to Indianapolis on Halloween weekend. I'm looking at the Colts schedule right now. They would see the week before the Titans travel to Indianapolis, they would be at the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football, which I don't think they can flex them that early, but they might try. Carson Wentz out for a window of 5 to 12 weeks, according to Frank Reich. I mean, there is zero excuse that this is the Titans' division to lose anymore. There is no reason why they shouldn't run roughshod over the rest of these also-rans at this point. There is just simply no disputing it anymore. Carson Wentz was he's the most impactful player in the AFC South right now. Because if he ended up being any kind of a success, it would create legitimate competition within the Titans division, especially with an expanded regular season, an expanded postseason as well. More wild cards, more wins is what it's going to take to be able to get into this expanded postseason with the expanded regular season as well. 615-737-1045. If you want to react to the news that Carson Wentz is going to miss between 5 and 12 weeks with foot surgery, according to his head coach, it's incredible. So you start looking at who. I mean, could they make a trade? Because right now, Jacob Eason, it sounds like he's pretty far away from being able to compete at a high level or compete at a starting level. You talk about Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota, who sits as the backup to Derek Carr in Las Vegas. Could Titans fans see Marcus Mariota playing for Indianapolis next year? Mitch Trubisky is the backup in Buffalo. Would the Bills be willing to part with a decent option at backup quarterback? What would the Colts be willing to give up if, in fact, they are pursuing a trade? This totally sets the division on fire in a way that the division was already on fire. But in fact, it probably makes it less interesting, because the only thing that you could not look at and say is, you know, provide injury is always a possibility. With Carson Wentz, it seems a little more likely. The foot injury is unfortunate for him. That's a tough scene to go to have a new opportunity to go through the kind of things that it sounds like Carson Wentz has been through over the course of his career, and now have that opportunity almost cut in half. I mean, I guess if he's going through the 5 weeks, if we're to assume that the 5 weeks started today for the shortest possible time period for Carson Wentz to recover from foot injury, I mean, he would still, the Colts made a wise gamble against the quarterback that they traded for with that conditional second round pick. Because if he played 75% of the offensive snaps this year, Carson Wentz, that conditional second rounder in 2022 that the Colts traded to the Eagles would become a first. Or if Carson Wentz played 70% of the offensive snaps and Indianapolis made the playoffs. Both of those things are possibilities for what would turn the Colts' conditional second rounder into a first rounder. They bet against the quarterback that they traded for, and it turns out it might be the right decision. Titans practice has concluded, so maybe Lucas, we kick it a little early, just in the event that Jayon Brown wants to come over straight off the field. It sounds like that might be the case. So why don't we come back with Titans linebacker Jayon Brown next? I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Live from St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp, day 5 in the books. We got linebacker Jayon Brown kind enough to give us some of his time over here. Big dog, it's been a minute.
It's been a while. It's been a while, and I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, no, we're glad to have you. So, of course, I'm going to hit you off the top with what the hell just broke in the AFC South. Carson Wentz is going to miss up to 12 weeks with the Indianapolis Colts. You are just finding out off the practice field. Now, I told you you're going to have to give me your best coach pick. I put you on the spot.
Yeah.
I believe you can do it. What is your reaction?
First of all, I hate to see it.
Yeah, that stinks.
He's a really good player, and adding his talent to our division is just bringing more attention over here with his talents and what he's done with his team with the Eagles. So wishing him a quick and fast recovery and see him back on the field.
So is now the time when you declare the AFC South for the Titans at this point, man, at week 2 in training camp?
We more about action than talking, so we just got to go out there and do it.
So what was today like out on the practice field? The defense looks like it's had some really good energy the past couple of days.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a great day out here. Everybody brought the energy coming off a day off yesterday, and we competed out here, made a lot of good plays. We got a couple of interceptions today, so it was really good. Just got to keep it going, keep the energy there, keep the talking, the communication, technique, and just keep making plays.
Now, are you all chirping at Tannehill when you pick him off? Because this happened a little bit. It's supposed to happen in training camp. Yeah. Nobody's panicking about interceptions right now. But are you guys chirping at QB1 a little bit when you get him?
It's just talking in general. O-line talking to D-line. We just talking. But it's just bringing the best out of you, you know. Make some more fun talking a little, you know, smack.
Now you're smiling. Who is the best practice trash talker?
It's a lot of good ones out there. We got a lot of good ones. Jeff is definitely up there. Rashawn, KB. It varies, though, on who's the best, but we know who we're going to hear on a daily basis.
Day by day. Titans linebacker Jayon Brown here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So, I mean, we were just talking before we went on air. Last year was all kinds of messed up for a great many reasons. But for you in particular, to watch the way that you went down in Baltimore, that was the first time you were saying that you've missed substantial time, like the rest of a season, due to an injury. Was that difficult? I assume it was difficult to go through, but what was that like to kind of process and then realize I got a long way to go before I can get back out here and do this thing?
Oh, man, it sucked. Looking like super far ahead from when it did happen, I'm just like, all right, let's get this surgery and let's get back. But to miss time, but I was very glad to see us win the title, the AFC South title, in the first time in a long time. So I was glad of my teammates coming here and doing rehab. I still felt a part of the team and still hanging out with the guys. So it was a good time. But for me personally, I was glad to see the team win and just taking it day by day with the recovery process. And I'm so thankful and happy to be back out here playing, you know, playing with this team and re-signing here and being back out here with these guys to build something and do something special this year.
Now, you got the Terminator brace on during practice, it looks like, the robot arm. Is that like an adjustment? Because I've seen J.J. Watt wear the one that's, you know, the size of my thigh.
Yeah.
But, like, this one you got on, it seems similar.
Mine is definitely a lot smaller than his. But it would be definitely as efficient as his.
I don't think that's any slight. Like, I, you know, J.J.'s a different kind of cat, especially with the biceps.
He known for the brace, so, you know, right. everybody say, oh, you got the J.J. Brace. I'm like, yeah, give me that 99 overall with it.
Right. Now, you're saying it's going to be the Jayon Brace. It's no longer the J.J. Brace. Now it's the Jayon
Brace.
Yeah,
I got a blue one. I don't know what color his is, but, yeah, it's a Jayon.
No doubt. Jayon Brown here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So getting back out here, getting comfortable. I mean, it's just football. You've been doing this all your life. But there's got to be some degree of, I would imagine there's some degree of, okay, I've got to work back into this thing and kind of find my footing, work with my teammates. It's been some time since we've all done this together, and that's the case for anybody during training camp. But has it been any different than in years past for you?
Coming back, this is going on my fifth year, and I feel like I know what to expect. And
that's messed up, though, isn't it? 5 years?
It's been a great 5 years.
No doubt. I'm just thinking because it makes me feel old because it's been 5 years for me, too. So
it's
wild.
Like, thinking about it, it went by very fast.
It did.
I got drafted here and seen people come, seen people go, and seen what we done built from what we were my first year to got here and what we are now. Like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy, yeah. And see this fan base that we established, it grew a lot in the love that we get around the city, and it's definitely dope. I love where we're at, and you know, I'm very excited to see what we're going to do this season.
Who is the most excited teammate to see you back out there? Because Rashawn was on the show last week. Rashawn's high energy about everything, so I don't know if he's probably displayed it the most. But who is most excited to see you?
I'm gonna say the whole team. I got a lot of love coming back in this locker room, and especially going around the city too with the fans seeing me out and stuff like that. But with this team, I'm so happy to be back. Like, coming in here hurt and you know rehabbing, and watching these guys. Definitely got like some FOMO, missing out playing with these dudes. I'm so happy to be back, be out here on this field healthy and being able to contribute, helping the team win.
You know what? You're a lot better at a lot of things through 5 years of football and 5 years with this team. But there was a time, I remember, I think you were the first interview I ever did when I was just absolutely not qualified to be out here.
Oh, man.
And I remember how much more, it felt like somebody got to you in the last couple of years about how you answer our questions at the press conference. Who got to you?
Oh, man. I just be learning through the process, man.
There it is.
I just be learning through the process. Man, from that first year, man, having Wood, Avery, Rack, Morg, all them guys.
That group was a trip.
Oh, man, that was a fun year. Ricky was a fun year. I was definitely getting picked on, though, but, you know, that's Ricky stuff.
Yeah, no question.
But it was a great time, man.
So, with, you know, I've asked this question. We've had, I think, all defensive players on the show so far through 5 days of camp, which, you know, is the side of the ball that the audience most wants to hear from. They're looking for you to for you guys to take the kind of step that I know you expect of yourselves. What are you kind of going into this season trying to establish the identity of your side of the ball as? What is that stated goal for you? Is there a stated goal for you?
We just want to, you know, we don't do this to come in like second place. We want to be the best, and we're on this field competing with each other. We had a really good offense. Our offense, one of the top offenses in the league.
Top three.
So we had a really good offense, and going against them, you know, it's only going to make us better. And we got guys, they got guys. So competing like we've been competing, it's only going to make us both elite. So we just got to keep it up, keep the intensity up, keep the trash talking going up, and it's going to bring the best out of us to keep pushing each other.
I was watching Jeff and Tierre out here on Saturday, and I don't know who got into it, because Nate Davis was in the middle of both of them, and
I was surprised
by that. You want to stay in control, you want to make sure that everybody's taking care of everybody else right now. Health is the most important at this time of year. But can that kind of, you know, those little dust-ups, can that help bring up the energy level of the rest of you guys?
Most definitely. We all a family. It's like fighting with your brothers a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, oh, let me play the video game. Like, nah, let me watch TV. Like, stuff like that. So it just brings the best. It's all love, though. Everybody's competing. We all want the best for each other. So those little heated scruffles, like, it's not nothing. They stay on the field, and you know, we dap it up afterwards, bringing it in at the end of practice. So it's just competitive greatness right there.
All right, I'm going to let you get out of here after this one. From week one to week two, where are you looking to see this team take a step forward?
From week one to week two? Like
in camp.
In camp. Yeah. Oh, just continue to improve on what everything that coach needs us to do, and just become more efficient and just keep on progressing step by step, correcting mistakes and not being an error repeater, and keep on competing to be great.
That's how I know it's been 5 years. That's a veteran answer. That's
man,
that was
old.
Veteran as hell.
I'm old, man.
Jayon Brown, kind enough to give us some of his time, man. It's good to catch up. It's good to see you face to face.
Good to see you as well. Good to have you guys out here back in the red tent. It's been a while.
No doubt.
Great to have you guys back.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Kind enough to give us some of his time here on 104.5 The Zone. Mike Vrabel going to be at the podium here in just a minute. Ryan Tannehill as well. We will air those press conferences for you. But a lot of good stuff there from Jayon, and that's been the case for all of our guests so far, all on the defensive side of the ball. through the first 5 days of camp. They are the steps that they are going to have to take. They are all well aware of it. In fact, I'm pretty sure Will, if that's is that Jackrabbit over there meeting with the rest of the media, he is going to be a critical part. The upgrades at the positions that they so desperately needed to upgrade is going to be a critical part of this process. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the conversation. 615-737-1045. So I asked Jayon there about, you know, where do you guys need to take a step forward from week one to week two? Where do you need to see growth as a team? And, you know, Jayon, understandably, veteran answer, all phases, all things. I respect it. But I'm gonna get into a little more detail than Jay might have been willing to. Because we were talking to Mike Vrabel on Friday, it would have been. They had practice Saturday, and I want to talk about what went down at practice on Saturday, because that was a treat unto itself. But there's a great many, and this is the conversation had around this time of year, every year, it feels like, where the defense starts out ahead of the offense. The offense takes a little more time to get the miscues, the unforced errors, out of their system. And that, so far, has been true to form in week one for the Tennessee Titans, having just concluded out here at St. Thomas Sports Park day one of week two of Titans training camp. So basically, the biggest step, and we want to know from you guys, 615-737-1045, where are you looking to see this team grow from week one to week two in training camp? Because there's three particular areas, Lucas, if we could pull up the poll at Buck Rising, that I think we gave people options. Because you haven't been able to see a lot of practice, although they did have some people out here on Saturday. I know Gerald McGrath, had the former Titans linebacker, had his high school football team he coaches out here on the practice field. They had a few more guests that they invited as well. And it sounds like there's going to be a practice at Nissan Stadium for fans right before they head down to Tampa Bay, which is going to be exciting because I know a lot of people have been trying to get out here and see the show. And it has been a show so far. But what are the options that we've given people at Buck Rising on Twitter where they need to see this team take a step forward at this point in training camp, Lucas?
Looking at it, between kicking, quarterback center exchange, and Tannehill interception, 77% say kicking is where the Titans need to make the most strides.
So that is indeed the case. Sam Ficken is the new kicker that they've added, former Jets kicker, somebody who was basically traded out for, or who Blake Hawbeil, the undrafted rookie free agent from Ohio State, was traded out for. He was waived after Saturday's practice. He was waived yesterday. They had an end of practice kicking competition where it was Tucker McCann versus Blake Hawbeil. And McCann missed two, one from 33, the other from 42. Blake Hawbeil was perfect up until the final kick that he made in that session of practice, and it was from 50. And it was a tough watch. It was as bad a miss as any that we have seen lately. Now, 50 yarders, not routine. Okay, it's Steven Goskowski was uncommonly accurate from 50 plus yards last year. In fact, that was one of the more bizarre things why he struggled from inside of 50 the way that he did at the start of the season, and then you saw how much better he was from kicking from 50 out. But now the kicking competition begins more in earnest, because now they've let the special teamers know, hey, 1 week in, it wasn't good enough. We're already starting to change the parts of this thing to try and find who's going to be able to hold up their end of the bargain, who's going to be able to handle field goal kicking responsibilities. It's a big part of this. Special teams so often has the ability to break you. You can find ways to be successful without competent special teams. The Titans have done it basically for the last 2 years, whether it's struggles in punt protection and you're seeing kicks blocked like against the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday Night Football, or if you're talking about the lack of explosiveness really since Darius Jennings that they've had in the return game and guys that haven't made positive. We've seen negative impacts in the return game. We have not, between Adoree Jackson and Cam Batson, and I believe it was his rookie year where he took a knee in the back of the end zone on a punt return backed into the end zone on a punt return that caused a safety his rookie year against the Jags, if I recall correctly. So we've seen negative impacts on special teams. How can you get that unit to be a plus for you? And field goal kicking, of course, is the most critical of all of those because that literally affects the score of the game. 615-737-1045. Where do you need to see this team? Where do you need to see this team take strides from week one to week two? Let's go to Oh, is Kyle on the phone or is Kyle on Twitter, Lucas?
Kyle was just on Twitter. Kyle was chipping in with something for Jayon.
Oh, wanted me to ask about Jim Schwartz. Okay, sorry. I'm having. It's a lot easier to balance my my social channels in studio, I find. So I'm not seeing as many of your guys' questions as I would like. But with Jim Schwartz, he's just really been patrolling the area at this point. I've just gotten a text from Luke Worsham that said we have to have Jackrabbit on the show. I hear he's tremendous. So we will see if we can. If we're going to have all defensive players so far during camp, we might as well see if we can't get Jackrabbit Jenkins on the show. 615-737-1045. Kicking can be one of the answers if that's where you think you need to see this team make the most strides. But for me, I thought Mike Vrabel touched on it really well on Friday, where they had been struggling with what is the most routine play, maybe the most routine play in football, which is the quarterback-center exchange. They've been struggling, all of the centers had, and they made some changes at that position at the bottom of the roster depth to upgrade or to try and correct the issues. But they've been having trouble getting the snaps off correctly between the center and the quarterback from Ben Jones on down. So Vrabel touched on this on Friday in a way that I thought was really telling and something that could be said about Ryan Tannehill's interceptions so far through camp. At last count, I saw six of them. Two today, I do believe. I will confirm that. I know he had four coming in, and I saw him throw one at least. I'm pretty sure I saw a second interception, but I'm not sure it was Tannehill. So let's say five for now until I can get confirmation of a sixth. Where do you need to see this team make the most strides? For Vrabel, on Friday, it was the unforced errors.
Snaps, mishandled snaps the last couple days. I know Ben wasn't there today.
Captain Obvious.
Thank you.
But, Ben was in there. Ben was in there.
Today?
Yesterday, when we fumbled.
Right, but today wasn't.
How many we have?
Three in the last 2 days.
At least three in the last couple of days.
Three, I know.
Yeah. Surprise, anything in particular? Doesn't seem like we see that often in camps before.
Yeah, I mean, it's most basic play in football. And we have to be better. You know, we're trying to change the snap count up, right? We have different cadences that we use and motions, and sometimes, you know, when you change the snap count up, and we have to work. We got to work at it. It's the most basic play. It gets the play started. That ball is going to get kicked, and it's going to go on the defensive side, and they're going to have it. And that's a really, really unforced error, and it's something that, just can't happen. And so we'll just have to work it and clean it up and move on.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Friday last week talking about the enforced errors. That's where I need to see them take legitimate strides, right? And that's normal during training camp. It's completely routine. Interceptions, you want to see them now. Quarterback center exchange fumbles, you want to see. I mean, you don't ever want to see them, but if you're going to see them, best to work it out at this point in the first week of camp. Nobody is going to fault them. I mean, maybe fans are going to be overreactionary, and maybe the tweets that we send out during practice may fan the flames on that a little bit, but otherwise, I think that's pretty routine. It's how they correct those unforced errors and how they progress through the course of the next couple weeks. That's what this time of year is all about. Now, I know we have people on the lines. I know Jeff Simmons is at the podium. Let's take a couple calls first, and then we'll go over to the podium where Jeff Simmons and Mike Vrabel are speaking. We got Darrington on the line. Wants to ask a question about Titans training camp. What's up, Darrington?
What's going on, Mr. Buster? How are we doing today?
Man, the weather is beautiful. The football is exceptional. I'm having a day. How about you?
Oh, man. You ain't got the flamingo on, so I guess we're doing great.
What do you got for me?
So, you know, you said people ain't going to overreact, but, you know, when you can bring up Ryan Tannehill to a person like me, yeah. I had to go get to my coach, Mac. And let's talk a little ball here, because, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years. So let's just talk ball here. If we have a mediocre that overplayed quarterback that's throwing interceptions to a very underperforming defense, wouldn't that be any type of cause for concern, or are we saying that the defense has solidified itself that it actually is a contender now? That's just something that I want to know. So you say don't worry about it now because it's training camp and this is when it's supposed to happen, but if A.J. Brown is beasting as I keep hearing,
He's been better than you've heard him be great. He's been better than what you've heard. I promise you. I'm going to play you some A.J. Brown clips later on in the show.
That's what I need from you, Buck. I need you to take the concern off me to have more faith and trust in Ryan Tannehill. I have already placed bets for the season. I need to know, can I have faith in Ryan Tannehill under Vrabel?
No, I appreciate the call. 615-737-1045. It's here's what I'll say, because we are at the point where we have seen Ryan Tannehill perform at a high level. Of course, we have seen Ryan Tannehill exceed any expectation that was set for him here in Tennessee. There's no disputing that by any sense of the imagination. Now, we have seen him also, the numbers haven't been overwhelming, and certainly in a sample size of two postseason, the only two postseasons that Ryan Tannehill has played in, remember, the Dolphins made the playoffs with him on the roster, but Matt Moore started that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers because Tannehill was dealing with injury that year. 2019, the efficiency was there, and he has been throughout the course of his career here in Nashville ruthlessly efficient. But that Ravens game, the last time we saw this team play a football game, the postseason, hosting a playoff game at Nissan Stadium, the Ravens stopped the Titans by stopping the run. And they said, Ryan Tannehill, come out here and try and beat us. And through both efforts by the Ravens and a lack of finish by that Titans offense, which was not the case throughout the course of the regular season. I thought that was the least of their worries heading into that game. And, of course, that was the thing that ultimately failed them. The Ravens had a fantastic plan to stop the run and try and force the pass. Now, Tannehill went at Marlon Humphrey early. Remember, A.J. Brown had that touchdown pass in the caught that touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. I think it was the back of the south end zone, if I remember correctly. If you're facing south, it was on the left side. I can see it from the press box now. Back shoulder throw. A.J. brought it down right over Marlon Humphrey. Started the scoring, right? That was what we expected to see sustain throughout the course of the game, especially when they caused turnovers of Lamar. At that point, you thought, I mean, maybe it wasn't a done deal, but that they were in control of this thing, which is what you need against a team like the Ravens, a team that likes to play ball control with the style of offense that they run. You need to score first. You need to set the tempo. They had done that through the first part of that game. And then things fell apart because they couldn't get Derrick Henry going. I can't recall Derrick Henry's longest run in that game. But if I recall correctly, he did not have a run over 10 yards against the Baltimore Ravens in the postseason. They found a formula to make the Titans offense that was superhuman look infinitely more mortal. So what I'll say to you, Darrington, is don't be so quick to pull the trigger on your beliefs on Tannehill or cede yourself to your beliefs on Tannehill just yet. He will need to show media, fans, his own team, that he is able to perform at a high level in the postseason should the opposing defense take away the guy that we know and they know and everybody knows is going to get the ball, Derrick Henry. If they find a way to stop Derrick Henry, how can Ryan Tannehill overcome? They've given him enough weapons. He will need to prove that to us at some point. But a pretty good track record so far. I understand why Darrington feels the way that he does, and I think there will be more pressure this season on him than any other, because now he has all the weapons at his disposal. He's going through some changes at the offensive coordinator. Every team goes through changes like that on the staff, whether it be coordinator, position coaches, things of that nature. How can you overcome? How can you play up to that contract that this team felt you worthy of? And by the way, he has been worthy of so far. Before Mike Vrabel, before Ryan Tannehill, before Derrick Henry really found form, there were no AFC Championship game appearances. There were no divisions won. This is a pretty good start to two seasons as a starter, going back-to-back the way that they did, even if last year's postseason was disappointing, by all accounts disappointing. This will be the year that he needs to prove something to a lot of people who think the way that Darrington does. And I understand that perspective. I just think day one of week two of training camp to be bent out of shape about Tannehill's interceptions, I just think that's setting yourself up for unnecessary failure and angst in a way that, you know, is not necessary. 615-737-1045. When we come back, we may still hear from Jeffrey Simmons at the podium, who's currently up there now, but we will certainly carry Mike Vrabel's press conference for you live from St. Thomas Sports Park. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Getting ready to get you over to Mike Vrabel's press conference live from St. Thomas Sports Park. He's strutting up to the dais now. I know Lucas is just on a slight delay. Jeffrey Simmons wrapping up his media availability. First time we've heard Big Jeff at the podium. Talking a lot about, you know, his physical transformation, him getting down to it. And this has been a theme for him each of the years that he's returned as a veteran. But there's a lot of mention of Jeff Simmons as one of the top interior defenders in football. And he certainly has the potential to be. We have seen him impact a game many times over. And we have seen him be targeted, basically, as the most double-teamed interior defensive lineman in football a year ago after Jadeveon Clowney went down. For as little that Clowney did, he did attract some kind of attention from Jeffrey Simmons to allow for those one-on-one matchups. So in order for us to see Simmons reach his full potential, these guys that they've added along the defensive front, guys who are returning like Harold Landry, Rashawn Evans, Jayon Brown, who you heard from earlier, they're going to have to find ways to create more disruption around Simmons to find ways to have his presence felt in the way that we're talking about. We know what he's capable of. We've seen his ability. I mean, hell, the first game that he played, it was a critical point in their 2019 season. His first game off of the ACL injury as a rookie, comes in and totally disrupts things against the at the time, San Diego Chargers, to get Ryan Tannehill his first win as a starting quarterback, I believe, for the Titans. Anyway, Mike Vrabel's at the podium now, so we'll go to it live.
Probably a day off. I don't know. You know, maybe a day off and they get, some rest and they, come back, maybe the red zone, trying to just, be smart and also use, these reps to get us down there in the red zone. Just seeing where guys are coming off of a break and a day off, trying to shorten the distance. And I think I think we accomplished a lot just from the speed of it and what it looked like. And like you mentioned, the energy. So, we'll have to keep that up going forward here and being able to compete and take care of each other. And I have a lot of energy when pads go on tomorrow.
What's the significance of having Kale about now doing this stuff at this point?
Well, I mean, I think the significance is trying to get as many people as we can get back to working with the team. There's certain rules that you have to, follow when they're on PUP or NFI or just different lists. And now it, allows them to get out here and do some of the jog through before practice. It allows them to be around his teammates and individual and, group and, the little work that he did against the offense today.
I know he didn't do everything, but what he did do, he seemed like he was full.
Yeah, I mean, it's, just going to be working him back in and just trying to make sure that he's good and that the conditioning level is where it needs to be able to compete and get him through practice.
Everybody's situation is different, but your experience with Jeff, how much confidence does that give you you can – formulate a plan for a guy like Caleb coming out of his situation and get him to the season healthy and ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, everybody has a different plan, and some guys do a little bit more, some guys do less. We'll see how he feels and how, Todd and Frank, what the follow-up is with that. We'll evaluate him again in the morning and then just continue to progress as we move forward.
That's for the first time tomorrow, and how kind of excited our coaches to see that next step in the practice?
Well, it's, I think, where we start to evaluate some of these guys that, up front, especially. There's a lot of guys on both sides of the line of scrimmage, offensive and defensive lines. Monty Rice needs to take some blocks on and needs some contact. These tight ends, so those are guys that, really you're focusing on. What can the runners run, behind their pad, take care of the football? And hopefully we've been able to do that, carrying it. I wouldn't say throwing it very well, but we've been able to take care of it running it, and so hopefully we can do that again tomorrow.
Is it tough to balance? Like, you want the guys to go hard, but you want them to be smart?
Well, I think that we ask them to do that even in the game. It's obviously that we try to take them to the edge. We try to ask them to play, you know, full tilt to the tackle and finish longer than the guy with the ball. But, you know, defensively, there's times where you have to know that the quarterback is about to slide or he's at the sideline. I mean, there's a lot of rules that, you know, really aren't even in the rule book that guys have to be able to follow, you know. And so we try to show them that. But there's a fine line of taking them to the edge and then, you know, asking them to pull off and make great split-second decisions.
I feel like there's been any more interceptions, you know, the first few days of camp than you've seen previously. It seemed that way to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, you got to make sure that, you know, some of these are really good plays and some of them are, you know, bad decisions. And again, you can live with the really good play, but the bad decisions we have to, you know, we have to eliminate those. So it's a fine line.
You know.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, said that, you know, he wanted to have him go inside and we wanted to get him some team reps, which we did. And so, you know, we'll see where he's at tomorrow and see how he looks.
Is there value with go in sort of opposite positions, like outside linebacker and tackle, corner and receiver, having conversations about what's happening in practice and that competition?
Yeah. I mean, between each other, right? Not the competition in their position group, but I think that you can understand what the guy's job is that you're going against might make it better to, you know, for your matchup, right? If I know how the offensive line's coached or I know how the tight ends are coached, you know, as an outside linebacker, maybe that could help me. You know, up front defensively as defensive lineman, if I know, you know, there's a blocking scheme that's done a certain way and if I can pay attention to the reps that happen in practice and, you know, it comes up all the time, even in the jog through. We run 12 plays, a lot of this, you know, it's a jog through. But invariably, the same exact defense will come up against the same exact offense in practice and use that as an example to say, hey, you got this look in before stretch and you maybe didn't do it exactly the right way, came back in practice and got the same look and were able to make an adjustment. And, you know, asking these guys to try to be a little bit more aware, and I think knowing what the position across from me is doing is probably part of that.
Yeah, when you were a player, Eddie?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I could – you know, tell you right now that going back to Mark Bruner in Pittsburgh, who I think is one of the best blocking tight ends I've ever gone against, but going against him for 4 years and, you know, being as close to Mark and his family as I was certainly helped me become a better outside linebacker.
Will you see single high virtually all the time because of Derek, or do you expect you'll be able to do things with Julio and AJ that'll get people out of there?
I think we just have to be prepared. May happen. I mean, we predominantly, you know, see single high defenses as it is now. I don't know. We'll have to be ready to adjust to a lot of different coverages and pressures and whatever the scheme is. And we'll have to be prepared to block it up front and protect it when we throw it.
Self-scout a lot in order to find the things or prevent people from leaning.
Self-scout, what do you mean?
Self-scout, personnel or whatever that would allow them to give you single high as frequently as they'd like or to pick the spots where they could double Julio or AJ.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally you're going to double anybody that, you know, on third down is where, you know, a lot of double coverages occur. You know, there's a lot of ways you can roll up the guys and whatever they feel like their game plan is, you know, we'll have to be prepared for it, whether that we've seen it on film or not. And I think that's what we try to do in practice. And, you know, these guys obviously, you know, are preparing our guys for different fronts. And right now we're going against each other. But, you know, soon we'll have to make sure that we're giving them a lot of different looks that we've seen in the past or what we feel like they may do.
John's question about the interceptions, not asking for a percentage, but just – your feel for how much of that is good play versus bad decision. And I know a couple of practices ago you were unhappy with the practice because you felt like you were giving away a lot of opportunities out there.
Well, certainly with the quarterback center exchange, I think the interceptions, you know, there were times today that I felt like we made a really nice play. And then I felt like, you know, maybe on the pressure, you know, I mean, like we got to throw that ball away. We're just, you know, I mean, it's like they blitzed us and, you know, that ball's probably just got to be, you know, dirted or thrown away. And I think that's probably, you know, when you throw out there late, that's a recipe for disaster.
About Sam Ficken?
Not much. I think he's number four. We got him from the Jets. Heard he kicked well today. We're just trying to find guys that can compete at each and every position, you know. So I haven't been able to watch, you know, the kicking tape on the side today. Today was a scheduled day off, but heard he kicked it well, and you know, we'll put him into the competition, and you know, we're going to keep trying to do that.
And that's kind of where I was going too. I mean, you try to get all areas of the team up to speed right in the season. How much easier would it make your life if one of the kickers just takes control of that job and wins? You don't have to worry about it.
I mean, I just think we're hoping for try to provide competition, you know, throughout the roster. And some places are more competitive, obviously, than others. So that position would be no different.
Rodgers and Marcus Johnson keep showing up, making catches. How much does their previous experience in the league maybe help them in a battle?
I mean, I think they kind of know, like, okay, we kind of keep this many guys and, you know, they know that they're continuing to get opportunities, that they're probably doing well, and if, you know, those opportunities aren't there as much, that they're, you know, probably need to do some things better. But, you know, those are guys that we've spent time with. Marcus got here late in the year, really liked what he did in a short amount of time that was here and wanted to try to bring him back. You know, and Chester spent a bunch of time with us and now is taking advantage of a training camp here with us.
You spoke highly of Christian that's done in the offseason. Over the last few days, what have you seen from him to kind of, I guess, you know, further his elevation?
You know, it probably just has to be a little bit more consistent, you know, so showed up today, you know, but going to continue to, you know, make sure that the effort that he put into the offseason and the spring that he had, you know, continues to show up, you know, out here on the practice field and just be more consistent and continue, you know, those corner, nobody runs more than the DBs, right? Receivers are going to rotate. There's going to be some guys and, But these guys log a lot of miles, high-speed miles, and so you have to be in shape and condition, you know, to be able to do that. So that's something that we'll continue to concentrate on.
The setup with the quarantine QB, considering doing that again, or is that a thing of the past for sure?
You know, I think we would consider anything that would probably we felt like was best for the team if that's something that we need to do. Just try to just see where things are going and make that decision and be able to adjust accordingly to get him some work and make sure that he's in meetings virtually and just like we did last year.
The defenders have been talking about maybe a high level of kind of energy and swagger so far through the first days. Is that something you've noticed and does that mean anything much if you have?
I mean, I think building confidence is important. I really do. I think that, stringing days together, periods together, practices together is important to build some consistency. But ultimately, you know, I mean, you got to go out there and do it. And, you know, offense came back late in the day, like a lot of times, you know, and then made some plays on us there. So just try to put it all together and be able to do it for four quarters or however long we have to.
Jack, rather kind of take Caleb aside here and do some little one-on-one stuff. How important is that, and how much do you want him to cultivate that?
Yeah, man, I think that's important. These guys are in meetings together a lot. You know, they're around each other a lot. They're building a trust, and any time that our veteran players can do anything to help some of our younger players, I'm all for it.
Kind of speed up his timetable by maybe people who work in rehab and
we didn't have a timetable, so I mean that's the nice thing about not having him is you don't have to speed him up or slow him down.
How's he been up until the point where we saw him today?
Been as far as like, oh, great, great. I mean, great personality. I love coaching him. He's got, you know, he's already written two raps. You know, we get him up there. He's the first rounder, so he's in charge of the entertainment sometimes. And, you know, I told him to be ready to go. He got up with a notebook. He had it written out. Guys liked it. I liked it. He's got a great personality. I'm excited to watch him play. And this was a good step, a great step, and hopefully a long career here to get him out there on the practice field.
You're listening to Titans head coach Mike Vrabel's media availability at St. Thomas Sports Park on 104.5 The Zone, WGFX-FM, Gallatin, Nashville.
Maybe keep an eye on other stuff going around. Carson Wentz, it was announced, going to have foot surgery out for the next 5 to 12 weeks.
5 to 12.
They
I know. 5 to 12.
But you guys play
I like
them in
your
nine
chances
weeks.
Of being right.
You guys play them in 9 weeks. How much do you kind of keep an eye on?
Well, that falls right in the middle of it, doesn't it? I don't know. They're going to have whatever they're going to do. Got a lot of respect for Frank and his football team and that organization. you know, we'll figure that out when it comes, whenever that happens. But we got a lot of work to put in, you know, before we get there. Anything else? Thanks, guys.
Coach, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, live at the podium there. Look at that, an injury timeline question, not even about his own team, backed him into a corner. We'll come back and react to what the head coach had to say. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.